The title of my presentation today is SNP Genotyping Using CASP Assays for Screening Upland Cotton Populations containing germplasms interspersed with Gossypium diploid species. So as we all know, elite cotton cultivars are characterized by low genetic diversity. This reduced diversity leaves the crop vulnerable to abiotic and biotic stresses, its ability to deal with the stresses. Wide crosses and crosses with related species serves as a source of much needed diversity. Those such exotic germplasms have been shown as a source of agronomically useful and important traits. These crosses are impeded by genetic complications such as linkage drag. To overcome these obstacles, chromosome segment substitution lines are lines in which carry a single or few defined segments, chromosome segments from alien genomes in the pure genetic background of elite cultivars. They serve as a source to easily introgress traits. And given that marker-assisted selections have improved the efficacy of traditional breeding and especially introgression breeding, it is desirable to have markers that function across different Gossypium species and across diploidy levels. So the goal of my master's research project is to develop a linkage map for the A2D1 synthetic tetraploid cross with Gossypium hirsutum, and also to develop an affordable method to use marker-assisted selection in the subsequent back cross generations to develop these segment substitution lines. Of the several marker technologies available, SNP markers have gained popularity in recent times. They are abundant in the genome, they are flexible to assay, and they are easy to use, which is why they have gained the popularity. Array-based technologies like the Illumina Infinium assays and the Affymetrix gene chips have reduced the cost of data points and are high throughput. So the cotton SNP chip that came out in the year 2014, developed by the International Cotton Consortium, has made available the array-based technology for cotton. The SNP chip has provided us with the following things. The actual SNP chip that allows to genotype 63,000 markers simultaneously, and a cluster file that is an algorithm that clusters the data generated by the chip into genotypes. And a high density linkage map of inter and intraspecific crosses. This linkage map has mapped about 19,000 SNPs off the 63,000 on the chip. So in automated genotyping, this SNP chip, when it is used for diploid species of cotton, the cluster file is not as effective as it is for the tetraploid introgression. So last year I spoke about developing a diploid cluster file that is specific for the diploid. So as you can see in this first picture, it has clustered the first cluster as AB instead of AA, which is why we need an exclusive diploid, exclusive file for diploid, which is what we have worked on, and happy to say it's complete. So from the previous samples that were run on the previous SNP chip, this is the data that we obtained. So according to the SNP chip, about 17,000 of the markers on the chip are polymorphic for the A2D1 introgression population. And of these 17,000, 13,000 are already mapped in the interspecific map. So the density of the markers is about 511 per chromosome, the average density, And the average size of each chromosome is about 147 centimorgans. This gives us a density of about 3 markers per centimorgan. So it boils down to, so for a large-scale breeding project, it boils down to which method to use for genotyping, either an array or a uniplex-simplex genotyping method. So the most major consideration for any program is cost. So I'm going to describe the last row is the cost per useful data point. So for example, in my population, there are 17,000 polymorphic SNPs on the chip. So let's say every one SNP for every 170 SNPs is a useful SNP, is located in a region of the genome that I want to use for introgression. So that would increase the cost of the array to about $100 per sample. Whereas simple assays like Cas assays would be about $20 per sample. So when you're working with large back cross populations and you have to genotype large populations, it is obvious that simplex genotyping is more cost effective. So this leads me to the objective of the experiment is to utilize the SNP marker sequences on the SNP chip to develop affordable methods to genotype large back cross populations. So before I talk about the Cas assays, I would like to walk through the procedure that I used to select the SNPs that I would be running on Cas assays to see if it is possible to use the SNPs on Cas assays. The first step is to select polymorphic markers. So first get the 17,000 SNPs in a list of the 17,000 SNPs that are polymorphic for my population, and then sort out the ones that are mapped in the interspecific map. And the next step is to get the sequences for these SNPs. And the next step is to randomly select about 20 SNPs per chromosome. The next step is to run these SNP sequences through Batch Primer 3 software to generate allele specific and allele flanking primers for each of these SNPs. The next step was to select the SNPs with the highest Q scores or the quality scores. And then the next step I did was added the tail sequences, which are the FAM and the VIC sequences that bind with the fluorophores that are in the master mix of the Cas assay to give the signal that we use to read on the plate reader to get the genotype of that sample. And the next step is once we place the order and then we receive the primers is to make the assay mix. It is just a working aliquot of the allele specific primers and the allele flanking primers. So coming to Cas assays are an inexpensive, versatile SNP genotyping mechanism that is given by the LGC company. It is a very flexible method, and the assays, it is flexible. So the two components of involved in SNP genotyping using Cas are the assay mix, which we just did previously in the last slide, and the next is the reaction mix or the master mix. That is a proprietary mix from LGC that has the fluorophores and the TAC polymerase and the nucleic dNTPs and everything else. So these two, when combined, form the PCR reaction mix, and this is run on ThermoCycler to get genotype data. So once the PCR is run, the plate is read on a fluorescent plate reader to get the results. So I'll be now talking about the template that I used to screen these SNPs. So I used 96-well micro titer plates and screen and used 24 samples to screen each SNP. And this way I was able to screen 4 SNPs per micro titer plate. And that is a template I used to screen the SNPs. So the next step is the results. So the density of the SNPs that I used were 2 SNPs per chromosome, and the results that we got were about 28 of the 52 SNPs gave clear clusters that are used to genotype, determine the genotype. And we were pleasantly surprised that it was high. We were expecting a lower number based on previous experiments. So there are some. So in this image, the first column is the non-template control. The second column is the parent one, which is the elite cultivar Gossypium hirsutum, and the third one is the donor A2D1 synthetic tetraploid, and the fourth one is the F1 between these two, and 5 through 12 are my BC1 F1 samples that is the goal. Those are the samples that need to be genotyped. So these are some other results, other SNPs that were run that gave successful assays. So dominant markers. We also saw a few dominant markers. Dominant markers are those markers in which we cannot tell apart the genotype of the F1 and the dominant genotype. What was surprising is this image. Because the SNPs originated from Gossypium hirsutum, we were expecting more SNPs to act this way, where the A2D1 would not amplify. But they were surprisingly only one of those of the 52. So in conclusion, based on this experiment, SNP sequences on the SNP chip can be used to harvest PCR-based Cas genotyping, and this will allow to screen large populations of introgression lines. Given the many uses of marker-assisted selection, these markers can be used for several other studies. We intend to use it to develop chromosome segment substitution lines. And lastly, I would like to thank my committee, my lab, for all their support, and Cotton Incorporated and Illumina for their funding, and Texas A&M AgriLife Research. Thank you. I can take questions if you have any.
So questions for Imani?
Yes, Dr. Smith.
So Imani, can you foresee the chip as being applicable for breeders across biclinical crosses?
When you say biparental crosses,
oh, I make 100 combinations of parents every year. You see the SNP chip in applicable to me to go into those segregated populations. Say there's 100 of them, regardless of their parents, and use it as a selection tool.
So if your parents are all tetraploid, the current SNP chip is usable for that kind of population. Yes.
Imani, I've got a question. With using this SNP chip when this thing rolled out and starting to be used, what are the low hanging fruit? What's the easiest thing to get with the SNP chip? What can we accomplish first?
I would say linkage maps, depending on the population. And based on this linkage map, we can use this for later generation selecting markers for marker assisted studies.
Okay.
Does that answer?
Can you repeat that answer in the microphone?
So yes, Dr. Hayes' question was, what is the use that you see for running the samples on the SNP chip? What is the first use that you see? So I would say developing molecule linkage maps for specific populations, because it gives a huge amount of genotype information for that population.
Any other questions? Well, thank you, Molly.
Thank you.